Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to Packers Talk Network.
Do you want to experience the thrill of the Packers game at Lambeau Field? If so, be sure to get your game ticket from the longtime trusted source in Wisconsin, Ticket King. Visit their locations in Milwaukee and Green Bay, or just go to their website at TicketKing.com. Again, that's the TicketKing.com.
It is good! The Packers are moving on! Aaron Rodgers has done it again! And Mason Crosby, a hero for Green Bay!
You're listening to the best Packer radio show on the internet.
Cheesehead Radio.
Reach the audience.
Get those back.
So I think that's the logical explanation.
Let's just, you know, say that didn't happen.
It was a return to greatness. It was a return to form.
It's crazy. And he just kind of flew under the radar.
Get this out there so I sound good on Cheesehead Radio.
Yeah.
No negativity allowed, sir.
So I think that's actually going to be really exciting to watch. I don't think there's anything positive we can say. There's a lot.
Oh, you were looking for positive things.
I guess that's what I meant. Positive, I guess.
Everybody, welcome to another episode of Cheesehead Radio. A very sad episode this one is, I'm sure. Your hosts tonight are the depressed CD Angeli of Packers Talk and Cheesehead TV, the despondent Michelle Bruton of Cheesehead TV, Bleacher Report, and a thousand other places, and me, little old crying his heart out, Jersey Al of Packers Talk and Cheesehead TV. Jamie Snowden is not with us tonight, as she is likely in the process of delivering another little Packers fan into this world. Sponsoring the Packers Talk Network this year are the fine folks at Ticket King, who have been selling Packers, Badgers, and other tickets in Wisconsin for 25 years. Be sure to check out their website, theticketking.com, for any of your ticket needs. Joining us later in the show will be radio voice Bill Johnson of the Big 1070 in Madison. So now, let's get this started with some sad Packers news.
Packers news.
Well, understandably, the number one thing on all Packers fans' minds this week is the quarterback position. In his press conferences this week, Mike McCarthy has made it abundantly clear that Brett Hundley is the team's absolute starter moving forward. The Packers did, however, sign free agent quarterback Jerod Evans to the practice squad after promoting Joe Callahan to backup.
Now, of course, that hasn't stopped thousands of people, 17,000 to be exact, from signing a change.org petition asking the Packers to sign veteran free agent Colin Kaepernick to line up under center for Green Bay. Just don't bring that up to Mike McCarthy. It did not go so well for the reporter who did so this week.
As for other looming roster moves, we got some good news this week when rookie outside linebacker Vince Beagle returned to practice as a full participant. However, if the Packers want to get him on the field in the near future, they'll have to activate him to the 53-man roster.
One player who is no longer on the 53-man roster is cornerback Quinton Rollins, who was placed on injured reserve Monday when Joe Callahan needed a roster spot. Now, Rollins appeared to suffer a non-contact knee injury against the Vikings.
Well, in other good news, rookie cornerback Kevin King, who has been one of the Packers' best players in the secondary this season, is out of the concussion protocol and will play this week against the Saints.
Nice. Now, King's recovery couldn't come at a better time for the Packers, who had four cornerbacks in all appear on the injury report on Wednesday: Devon House, Lindsey Pipkins, King, and Demarius Randall. Now, only King was a full participant.
And if you're concerned about the Packers' cornerback depth, and no one would blame you if you were, don't forget that Demetri Vinson will soon be available to return from the physically unable to perform list.
Thank goodness. Now, if you have been waiting to attend a game at Lambeau Field but have been hampered by the high ticket prices, you may be interested to know that since Aaron Rodgers' injury on Sunday, Packers ticket prices have dropped by as much as $100. Perhaps our sponsor, The Ticket King, can help you make that happen.
And that was your Packers News of the Week. Now it's time for your
Packer Tweets from Packer Tweets.
To start us out, our friend at the Packer Rancher made a great observation of the Vikings fans who allegedly cheered the announcement that Aaron Rodgers was injured and would not return to the game. He tweeted, "In typical Viking fashion, the Vikings stole their chant from a more cultured, developed people."
And at Fake Sports Center gave us what we all either secretly want or what we all secretly dread. Breaking, Packers find temporary replacement for Aaron Rodgers and sign unknown 48-year-old free agent quarterback Jarrett Favre to a one-year $7 million deal.
Sounds like he'd be a pretty good player.
Haven't heard of him.
At RJ Bell tells us something that all Packers fans have known but haven't really had any conclusive forensic evidence to back up until now. She does, early line, Packers are minus six, are, it's hard to read odds. Packers 6.5 versus favored by 6. 10-point swing. Vegas says Aaron Rodgers is the most valuable player in NFL history.
Our last two tweets come from at Ryan Wood, who captured the mid-game panic of Packer fans when Brett Hundley came into the game and helped us look on the bright side of things. Brett Hundley's first pass, INT. Brett Hundley's second pass, TD. So there was improvement. But the tweet of the week is Ryan Wood's quote of one of Rodgers' offensive linemen and, of course, the biggest advocate for one Mr. Brett Hundley moving forward. David Bakhtiari on Brett Hundley. "We're going to back him up fully. No one is throwing in the towel. If they do, that's bull spit." That is David, and that is your Cheesehead Radio Tweet of the Week.
Tweet of the Week.
So have you ever read, you never read odds before, hey, Michelle?
Well, so
I don't know
I,
if I would have read it any
know,
better, so I'm glad
well,
you did it,
so
not
guess,
me.
Yeah, and if I had been thinking, like, I understand now he was saying that they went from minus 6.5 to being, to the Saints being favored at minus 6, but it's typically, like, the underdog have a plus, and neither of them were pluses. I was like, wait. What are we saying here? So
I was confused looking at it too. So I was glad you had to read that one. Of course, I had to read the last one, which
throw me under the bus,
all over the place. So okay.
So you had to decide how PG-13 you wanted to keep this podcast.
Yeah. Anyway, here we are. We're still here.
Yeah, and if we can say anything about this season, Vegas does not know what it's talking about, because this has been probably the wildest season to predict so far. Like, parity is real. So
yeah,
don't put too much stock in those point spreads unless you're trying to bet.
It's funny because for this other website, Draft Tech, we do like a power rankings thing every week, and it's like every week, whoever was number one or two in their power rankings loses, and suddenly they're number 10 or 12. And it's just, it's happened every single week. It's been crazy year.
Right. I have to imagine even the Patriots have gone from number one to number 11 to number 7 to number 13. Like, it's crazy. You just can't,
all over.
You can't predict it.
Yeah. Anyway.
Well, I don't know if you guys heard the news, but Aaron Rodgers is out.
Yeah, that's kind of why we're all sad.
What are we going to do? What are we going to do, guys?
What are we going to do? Who are we going
to
sign?
Someone talk me off. We have to sign. Who can we sign? Tony Romo. We can get Tony Romo.
Terrible.
Remember how much I was Remember how much I loved Tony Romo earlier in the season? Now I want him as a quarterback.
I don't know, guys. This is
really that old.
Think about this. Think about this. Most people that they could sign at this point would be failed starters. This is a great conversation going on in the Chiefshead TV comments today. Most of the players would be failed starters. Brett Hundley has never gotten a chance to start. So he could be a failed starter at some point in the future when he's a street free agent. But for right now, he's never even been
future
a starter.
Failed starter.
Yeah, but it's, you know, he's not tainted in any way. He doesn't have any bad habits. He hasn't learned, you know, bad things
all
from
right.
the organization. He is, it's the most perfect situation. What team just cultivates and develops a young talent that they drafted for years and years and then brings him in when they need him? And this is the second time they've done it now. And obviously, you know, we're not saying that Brett Hundley is going to be the Packers' future franchise quarterback in place of Aaron Rodgers, but, you know, Aaron Rodgers didn't look so great when he first came in relief of Brett Favre. And it takes a while, and you've really got to give them time to work with the first-team offense and to execute game plans that are actually made for them instead of just when they come in triage mode.
Yeah. It's funny because Rodgers really, like you said, didn't look good, especially when Favre was still around, right? Anytime he had
right.
to come in and Favre was still on the team those first couple of years, he did not look good at all. Once Favre disappeared and there was nobody else there to take the job and it was his, suddenly he was like a different player. So don't know what that means for Brett Hundley. I'm not sure I can draw any parallels there, but
yeah.
We'll see what happens this Sunday. He gets his first chance. He's been studying for 3 years for this, so we'll see what happens.
Right, and that's the thing that boggles my mind, that people think someone could come in off the street with no knowledge of the system, no knowledge of
oh,
the
yeah,
playbook,
they're
and
convinced.
No chemistry. Yeah.
Like it's a simple thing. It's a simple matter.
Right, of course. It's like you or I could just slot in.
Yeah.
Well, you know,
Boomer aside,
seriousness, though. In all seriousness, though, I don't think anyone is really thinking right now, well, far be it from me, but
exactly.
I don't think anyone's looking at bringing in any of these guys to replace Brett Hundley. I think the concern is we need to replace Joe Callahan because I don't know if you guys noticed at the rate Mr. Rodgers was taking sacks.
Yeah, you must not share all of my Twitter followers.
I disagree with that completely.
You do? Why is that?
Absolutely. They're not looking for a second stringer. People are wanting the Packers to sign somebody to be the starting quarterback, not to be the second stringer.
Those are
those
people. I'm being the rational, pragmatic guy that I am. And saying,
where are these
I'm
rational people?
Well, here's one. Hundley's going to move forward, and he might do well. But guess what? At the rate Rodgers was taking sacks this year, I'd say, guys, this is almost a matter of time. I mean, I was looking at that before and saying, this guy's getting hit and hit and hit with that offensive line. He's not going to last the season that it happens. What do you think Brett Hundley is going to do with less pocket pressure awareness than Aaron Rodgers? We need someone who can come in for Brett Hundley. And that's my fear, is you're going to bring in Joe Callahan, and this is going to be a worse comedy of errors than we had back in 2013 with the Seneca Wallace and everyone else under the sun coming in, and before we had to go begging Matt Flynn to come out of retirement to play for us. I mean, seriously, I think if you're going to sign someone, that's the reason. It's not to replace Brett Hundley, but it is to give a veteran presence who could come into the game and you know, possibly if Hundley gets hurt. That's just me, though.
There is a measured group who agrees with you, but there's certainly a more hysterical group that I've had the displeasure of interacting with on Twitter this week.
We seem to attract them, I think. I don't know what it is about us.
We just have I guess.
I had some fun with a couple of people today because I got what I think was a serious question from somebody saying, you know, asking, hey, if Hundley struggles, do we go sign Favre or Kaepernick? And I really think they were serious. I don't think they were trolling. And my answer was, absolutely. Why just one? Sign them both. So a lot of other people chimed in on that, and we had a nice little interaction on that one. But that kind of was the gist of the last couple of days for me of what we've been seeing out there. I'm sure, especially with your article today, which you did a nice, very nice job on, by the way, almost made me feel better about the situation we're in. But it wore off after 5 minutes. I read it, and I'm like, she's got some points. And then 5 minutes later, no.
It was a band-aid.
But it was still a valiant attempt. It was a very valiant attempt, which I appreciate.
You know, I try to keep it rational. Although it is funny because, you know, listen, I mean, it's no secret I grew up as a Packers fan. But in the last, you know, 5, 6, 7 years, I've tried to kind of put that aside and be objective. So when Aaron Rodgers went down, you know, I wasn't that emotional about it because I was in analyst mode and I was trying to think about, well, what does this mean for the team? Now, when Gordon Hayward, when his ankle exploded last night for the Celtics, then all the emotions that I hadn't been allowing myself to have about the Packers completely came flooding out. So I totally understand the angry, emotional, you know, sense of frustration and loss that people are feeling. It's very upsetting. And it's upsetting for Aaron Rodgers, most of all. I can guarantee you he's more upset than anyone else about this. And it's just, it's so hard to see this happen to him again.
Well, I mean, we're all upset, and maybe we can see how upset our special guest is tonight, because I think it might be that time.
Cheesehead Radio special guest.
If you listen to the Big 1070, the Big 1070 of Madison, you've heard this voice. And if you've listened to Cheesehead Radio, it's a very familiar voice. His name is Bill Johnson. Welcome back to the show, sir. How are you doing today?
Well, I'm all right. I'm watching what could turn into a 1917 game down at Wrigley Field, but I'm good. How's everybody there?
We're all doing well. Considering.
We're sad though.
Well,
we're sad,
hanging
though.
In there.
We are sad.
Upsetting. Yeah.
Sad is the theme for tonight. Yes.
All right. So I'll start you out here, Bill. We were just commenting a couple of seconds ago on Twitter. There's pretty much two brands of Packer fans, which is the slightly measured fan regarding this whole Aaron Rodgers, Brett Hundley situation, and the hysterical fans. I don't know if you've noticed at all. What camp do you fall
in? I think it's basically spoiled or more spoiled. I think I'm slightly spoiled because – you know, oh, boo-hoo, my team wins the division every year, but they don't win the Super Bowl. I mean, talk to a Browns fan. Talk to half the fans around the league. I mean, Packer fans have it great, and the problem is that they just don't appreciate it.
So you think that as Packer fans are moving forward, is this maybe a little bit of a reality check for some of those fans, you know, maybe with the possibility of having had Brett Favre since 1992 and Aaron Rodgers since 2008? Is this maybe something that'll help us appreciate this team and when you have a great talent like those guys come along?
Well, and I think those of us that remember when Aaron Rodgers came around, you know, what were the comments? And there's a lot of people that won't admit to this now, but I have good friends of mine that I talked to that said, you know what, this guy's never going to be able to stay healthy for a single game. He's going to get hurt. He's not going to be able to play. He's not that good. All that stuff. Those same people now are saying the exact same thing about Aaron Rodgers with regard to whoever replaces him. It's disappointing in a way. I guess what I've told people over the years, and I honestly mean this, it's like if you're so frustrated with the Packers and the way that they do things, follow a different football team. It's your life, and your life should not be miserable. We've gotten this whole notion from years and years and years and years of Boston Red Sox fans and Cubs fans and all these people that misery is for some reason this admirable thing. And if you're that miserable with something that's supposed to be fun in your life, do something else. Don't follow the Packers anymore. If Mike McCarthy and Ted Thompson are such bad guys and they're screwing up your life so horribly, do something else. You know, do crossword puzzles. My wife colors. It's beautiful. Color. Do something like that. But if your life is this miserable with what's supposed to be a leisure activity, move on.
I'm not missing a color though, right?
Color. No. She colors beautiful things, and they're very, you know, very delicate and everything else. But she enjoys it. She likes that. That's great. Do something you like with your leisure time. Don't just sit there and complain about the head coach and the general manager of your favorite football team.
Yeah, there's a little thing called perspective.
Duly noted.
Sage advice.
Well, I'll take that thread and run with it a little bit, though, because I kind of glued to Twitter the way that you aren't able to look away from a car crash on Sunday, trying to reason with people, trying to stay positive, trying to give perspective. Some of it was welcome. Some of it was rejected. That's just the way it goes. But I saw a few of your tweets as well, and I could tell that I think you were sharing my frustration a little bit with the people who were just sort of going full doomsday. And correct me if I'm wrong, but I got the sense from you, and we were sort of discussing before we brought you in, that we obviously feel like the only logical thing to do moving forward is just to accept that it's going to be Brett Hundley, let him do what he's been preparing for. He's the best option here. Do you agree? And if so, you know, why should everyone just accept that now?
Well, I do think it's the way to go forward, and we'll find out if they were right or wrong on Brett Hundley. I mean, we've seen preseason data on Brett Hundley, and there are guys that we've seen preseason data on before that haven't been good, but there are also guys like Matt Hasselbeck, like Aaron Brooks, you know, other guys that have gone on and been successful in the NFL with other teams. It might take a little while. We saw it with Flynn in his first incarnation as the replacement for Aaron Rodgers, where he struggled versus the Lions, but then he played a great game versus the Patriots. We kind of pay lip service to what they do during the week, but what they do during the week is way more important than anything they do during the game. I mean, Mike McCarthy could sit there and watch the game with me, and it would probably be about the same result as what happens on Sunday because of what they do during the week. And I think this is the other thing that we've just kind of run through this week. He'll get first-team reps with first-team guys. And we're just like, oh, yeah, that'll happen. That'll be fine. We don't understand how important that is. And,
yeah.
And what we're going to do, and I'm not saying that he's going to be wildly successful. I don't know. But we'll find out because – you know, he's going to walk in and all of a sudden he's the king. You know, he doesn't have the same status as Aaron Rodgers, but he's the guy now. He's the one they all follow. So we're going to find out about Brett Hundley. I think some of us think that he's going to be good. There are a lot of people out there that don't agree. We're all going to find out on Sunday because they're playing against a team where it's going to be a track meet. Based on the way that the Saints play and the way that the Packers defense has played in kind of a inconsistent manner, it's going to be a game where Brett Hundley's going to have to go out there and, to quote Mick Foley, he's going to have to summon all of his testicular fortitude because he's going to have to put the ball into spaces where it doesn't belong. And we're going to see what Brett Hundley's all about. But I don't think anybody, whether I think he's good or whether, you know, half the D-bags on Twitter think he's bad, we're not going to know until he actually gets out there and plays.
Right, and I think that's
go ahead.
Yeah, and I think that's what it comes down to is, you know, those of us who think he's going to be good obviously don't have a lot to play to besides his raw ability, his tools, his skills. You know, he hasn't put a lot of film out there, but at the same time, those who think he's going to fail don't really have anything to point to either. I wouldn't necessarily put too much stock in those interceptions. That was a game plan that was not designed for him. He was running an offense with people who were shell-shocked, who were, you know, completely rattled. So, yeah, I think ultimately what it comes down to is we all just need to let the tape speak for itself, but we've got to give him the chance to do that first. So, totally agree.
Yeah, and I think it's kind of a half-and-half thing with what happened on Sunday. Obviously, he gets thrown into the fire. Well, that's what he's there for. He's the backup quarterback. The last one was tipped. Any tipped interception, you know, is kind of a question. Anything where a receiver had his hands on the ball and then it ends up going into a defender's hand, it's one thing. The thing you have to look at with any quarterback is decision-making. And, you know, he made a couple of decisions that probably weren't great on Sunday. We'll see what happens after this week and then after the bye, and then when they go in and play the Lions, I think that's going to be really the test for him. I mean, I hope they win this game. I mean, I think it could be a very exciting game. I think it could be a shootout. After they get a week with him, because McCarthy's record after the bye is unbelievable, I'm going to be really interested to see what he has versus the Lions after the bye. I originally picked them to lose that game with Rodgers. I'm going to be interested to see what they have with Hundley after, you know, he's going to be in this kind of intense Clockwork Orange type of training throughout the whole thing. It's going to be really interesting to see, you know, who goes out on the field and if his personality can take what that coaching staff is going to throw at him in those 2 weeks.
Right.
And if you could all just join me for a moment here. Hold on a second. Join me for a moment. Anybody recognize this sound? All right. Ready to roll.
Schlitz? PBR? What is it?
No. Got a little Keystone Ice going.
Oh, Keystone Ice. Okay. Nice. Hey, Bill, as someone who has attended Mike McCarthy press conferences, what did you think of his biting reaction to that kind of careless Kaepernick question? And do you ever ask him anything that got a similar reaction?
Oh, yeah. That's how I got to be Mr. Wednesday. There was a few. I don't think anything quite that severe, but he's the one that started calling me Mr. Wednesday. So any time. It's his defense mechanism, and I like the guy. I really do. But if he doesn't want to answer a question, he goes back to the Pittsburgh macho thing and just gets, you know, a little bit salty. And I loved, I don't know if you guys heard this, but when Calipari was questioned and that reporter snapped right back at him and said, "This is media day. It's not coach day. Answer the question." I mean, I thought that was fantastic. And in the climate that we're in sports, in politics and everything, the media is the bad guy. So automatically, if you're a coach, if you're a politician, you're going to go to that. And again, I don't think McCarthy's a bad guy. His job is to keep that locker room together. And one of the great bonding mechanisms for any locker room is us against them. Well, who's the them? The media. You know, they think that it's so funny because if you talk to players too, they'll talk about some of the wild stuff that coaches have cooked up that the media are trying to do. And all the media is trying to do is report on the event. So, yeah, I'm not surprised that he did that. I'm not surprised that if you sift through that, you never really get an answer. Because that's what – it's not just McCarthy. It's what all of them do. It's a successful formula because, again, it's supported by the majority of the fan base. They would much rather – I guess the line of succession goes, if you're going to blame the player or the coach, you're going to blame the coach. If you're going to blame the coach or the general manager, you're going to blame the general manager. If you're going to blame the coach, the general manager, the player, or you're going to blame the media, you're going to blame the media. It's easy to blame the media because the media never fights back.
Got it.
Right. All right, well, we started talking about the Saints game a little bit. So I want to get back to that for a second because I think the big question heading into this weekend is, which unit are you more worried about heading into the game? This offense behind a decimated offensive line led by Brett Hundley or an injury-depleted defense?
I'm worried more about the offense just because of the injuries to the offensive line and the fact that versus the Saints where they are right now, they just have to keep up. So, I mean, it's almost like arena football. That's what I'm looking at. And I don't know, I mean, I don't think any of us know whether Brett Hundley's ready to play arena football.
Mm-hmm.
I think McCarthy's up for it. I think the receivers are up for it. The problem is the offensive line and the quarterback because, you know, and as I say this, the game will end up being 14-10 in a quagmire at Lambeau Field. But, I mean, this is the kind of game where it's set up to be like 52-48. And I hope that Brett Hundley's ready for it. I think it's going to be one of those big statement games for him. I'm hoping that it's going to be, you know, that second half that Rodgers had with his long hair and his Fu Manchu against the Cowboys where, you know, where everybody said, oh, wait a minute, you know, this guy can play. That's what I'm hoping for with him. And he's going to get the opportunity because we could take, you know, the five of us, my wife, the dog, and somebody else, and we could score a touchdown against the Saints. So, I mean, he's going to have his chances. Now it's just a matter of making a few really good decisions and using the weapons that he has. And the other thing that I think McCarthy might do with, you know, with Aaron Jones and with that crew of young running backs that he has, I think that he might try to use the pass to set up the run a little bit and give those guys an opportunity to make some big plays as well.
Okay. Bill, looks like Ted Thompson has finally hit on an early round defensive line draft pick with Kenny Clark. He's made what I think is a major jump from last season. And it's a big reason the Packers have been pretty good against the run. What have you seen from Clark that you like?
Well, it's such a tough position to play because you don't get any accolades. Even, like, Daniels. Daniels has been the best defensive lineman in the NFL for 2 years, and nobody knows him. You know, people are finally starting to figure it out. In the 3-4, if you're a defensive lineman, I mean, you're the first guys to storm the beach at Normandy, unfortunately.
Yeah.
So not only do you have to be skilled, you have to have the right mentality. I mean, how many guys other than offensive linemen step into the NFL and go, well, nobody's ever going to mention my name? Kenny Clark has been tremendous. And really it goes back to, you know, week 15, 16 of last year where he was kind of anonymous until that point. And then he started to figure it out. And this is what people get so impatient about, is the fact that it takes guys a while to catch up to the speed of the game. And once they do, you know, you see what guys are. And Kenny Clark has been tremendous.
Yeah, and I'm sure having Daniels next to him has certainly done something for his attitude on the field, because you can't be playing next to Daniels, you know, and be a quiet milquetoast type of guy. You got to be all out, because otherwise he'll tackle you, you know.
What I've thought about, though, is what's it like to live with, to be around Mike Daniels when he's not playing football? I mean,
what's he like?
You know, crazy. You sit there and you're eating your Cocoa Puffs or whatever, and he gets intense about the Cocoa Puffs. I mean, he is just, wonder how these guys are wired. And he's one of those guys where you look at him, and one of the things, and I worked with Homer for years, and Homer and I always agreed on one thing, and probably only one thing. If you can find somebody that was a wrestler, you got something. And that was the thing that really at first stood out with me with Daniels, was the fact that he was a heavyweight wrestler at a very high level in Iowa. I mean, that's like being a Green Beret. You know, I mean, he was, you know, just at the highest level of wrestling. So you're talking about competitiveness, you're talking about leverage, you're talking about all of those things. He mixes all of that stuff, which is great on the football field. I can't imagine what he's like in real life. You know, going to McDonald's or, you know, just hanging out at the mall with Mike Daniels. I can't imagine what it's like.
Just imagine if you get his order wrong at McDonald's, what could happen.
Right. No, I mean, some of these guys are just true believers, man. And it's, you know, and that gives you an idea just how intense the game is. And, you know, it's almost an insult to it to just call it a game. And that's one of the things that really trips me about people is when they talk about football players, and it's come up with the anthem thing, where they talk about football players and how they're playing a kid's game. I mean, have you been watching? Have you ever watched? This is nothing kids would ever do. I mean, kids might line up and look like this, but this is nothing that children would ever participate in. So, yeah, I have a lot of respect for those guys, and I have respect for those guys and how they turn it off when they're not playing.
Yeah, hard to picture that.
All right, we have been talking with the amazing Bill Johnson. You can follow him on Twitter at bjohnson613. Definitely a must-follow. You can also catch him on the radio in Madison, if you happen to be there, at the Big 1070. Bill, one last question for you on your way out here. The hit.
Yeah.
The hit itself. The hit on Rodgers.
Yeah. So it's fine.
Obviously, you're a Packer fan. You're screaming. You're angry. NFL rulebook is crazy. what do you think?
No, I wasn't angry at all. That was a clean hit. It was a perfectly fine hit. We've talked about this in the last couple of weeks. Trevathan, that was a problem. And I was reminded by a few of my friends that how much I enjoyed Chuck Cecil back in the day.
Right.
But this is not back in the day. Trevathan was a bad hit. The hit by Barr on Aaron Rodgers was perfectly legal, perfectly fair. There was nothing wrong with it at all. Aaron Rodgers had a problem with it because he knew when he broke his collarbone what it felt like, and he knew he was going to be out for the season. And I understand the disappointment. There's nothing wrong with the hit at all.
All right. We'll take a poll on that and see if Packer Nation agrees with you.
I wish you had a booing sound effect for me to throw in there, you know.
No, I mean, that obviously I think that's what you hear a lot is, you know, the educated population who knows the rules. It wasn't illegal. It just looked bad.
Well, if we're gonna save football, we have to figure out what the bad hits are and what the good hits are, and the bottom line is Anthony Barr's job is to go and tackle Aaron Rodgers. And it wasn't like he took four steps and tackled Aaron Rodgers. He took a half step and tackled Aaron Rodgers. And unfortunately, when Aaron Rodgers hit the ground, he got hurt. Sometimes that's still going to happen in football. And, yeah, I mean, as somebody who's followed this team my entire life, I feel bad about it. But that's a legal hit. And, you know, over and above the fact that I have followed the Packers my entire life, I love football. And that's still part of football. What Danny Trevathan did is not a part of football. That's kind of how I separate it.
All right. Well, that's pretty fair, and I respect your viewpoint, because obviously you probably know more about it and probably aren't as emotionally invested as most Packer fans were at that particular moment.
Oh, wait, no, wait a minute. I'm probably about 20 years more emotionally invested in it than you are. And I don't
this
know more
true.
Than you do. So let's get that straight. Drew Olsen told me years ago that when I started doing this that I would be neutered as a sports fan, and I scoffed at him. And to an extent, he was right. But, you know, I think about my Uncle Paul, who was actually at the Ice Bowl. Not one of the 1 million people that says he was at the Ice Bowl but wasn't there. He was actually there. And he was the guy that when I was like 4 or 5 years old was feeding me information on the Green Bay Packers. So, I mean, I am actually more emotionally invested than most people that have covered the team for years.
Exactly. Which is why we love having you on this show, my friend.
Well, call more often. We just sit here and wait for your phone call, basically.
Well, that's good to know. That's good to know.
Excellent.
You did catch the audience reaction from that, right?
Yes, absolutely.
Good.
All right, Bill. Well, thanks a lot for joining us today on Cheesehead Radio. We'll have you back on soon, as always.
All right. Live long and prosper.
Absolutely.
Have a good night, Bill.
Thank you, Bill.
Good night, Bill.
Later.
All right.
The always entertaining Bill Johnson.
The Playbook.
Okay. I disagree on
okay.
that.
Okay.
I do.
Let's go. Let's get everybody's feeling about the hit. Go ahead.
Yeah.
We need to hash this out.
Okay. If you...
Okay.
If you view, and if you remember what Fox was showing, Fox had, obviously, you know, they really were taking a lot of pride in re-showing the Aaron Rodgers hit at least another 740,000 times after the actual hit. But they had the one sweeping motion. Remember the one where they kind of did the little Matrix effect where they had him getting hit and they'd spin the camera around, you
spin
know, like
around.
180 degrees? Yeah. If you look at it, and this is what got me. They showed what's the guy's name? I forgot his name. It really doesn't matter.
Bar.
The no name
Bar.
Of that name, who doesn't matter. So anyway, he goes in. He hits Aaron Rodgers. They freeze the frame. Rodgers is still standing. He's still upright. He is still straight up and down. And as you spin, the ball is bouncing off Martellus Bennett's hands. The ball was already at the target, bouncing off his hands because, you know, heaven knows Martellus can't catch. And Rodgers is still upright, which means after the ball is bounced off his hands, he's still going through the motion to pile drive him into the ground.
But it's not
so I don't
illegal
know.
Because he exited the pocket. So he's making himself available to be hit. Whether it, like, we have to decide whether we're talking about whether it's legal or whether it was in poor taste or poor form.
I think it was unnecessary roughness. I don't know if it was an illegal hit in the sense that it was late or anything like that, but if you really look at it, he hit Rodgers and there was this, it was almost a little dance they do for a second. He's still upright. I mean, the ball's over there and they're still kind of, he's trying to get him, wrap him up, put his arms around him, and then kind of takes him down and drives him into the ground. The point is, he could have pulled back there was plenty of time for him to pull back from the time he made that initial contact. I just don't think it was necessary. I'm not saying it was late because I think he made the initial contact within that half step, but the ball was already at the target and he was still upright. It's crazy.
Yeah, I think I can agree with you that it was, in my opinion, it was legal. It's not something that he necessarily should have been penalized for, but it was a cheap shot. And I think that he could have adjusted. You know, I like to think, and actually the thing with Trevathan, you know, and I don't want to reopen that whole thing or get into it again, but I feel like he was committed to that move. His head was going where it was going. He wasn't necessarily targeting helmet to helmet, but that's just sort of where his body ended up. This, I think, felt more intentional in the sense that I think Barr could have chosen to come at him less hard, could have chosen not to pile drive him into the ground, which really is where the injury occurred. The hit itself, I think, was a football move, as they would say. I think he was making, you know, kind of a textbook tackle, but I do think it was sort of an intimidation shot, and ultimately, you know, you can't allow guys to come in and knock one of the league's most, you know, beloved and most watched players out of the game for possibly the rest of the season. They have to get better about legislating that, even if it's not within the realm of what's an illegal hit, the quarterback's outside the pocket, you know, that kind of thing.
Yeah. The way I felt about it from the beginning was that there wasn't anything illegal about it, you know, so I think we're all pretty much on the same page there. And I think the key for me was something that you just said, was that he didn't need to pile drive him into the ground. Would have been perfectly fine if he hit Rodgers, if he pushed Rodgers to the ground, you know, but there was no need, because to wrap your arms around him and pile drive him in the ground, you have to take more steps, right?
Mm-hmm.
You're not doing that in a vacuum. So even if he only took one or two steps to get to Rodgers, making it illegal, he then had to take additional steps to take him down to the ground. So that's the part, you know, as many of you have said, is completely unnecessary. I would have thrown a flag on it, basically, personally, because we've seen less things get flagged on quarterbacks. So
mm-hmm.
I would have called it unnecessary roughness. You can't call it a late hit, but you can always call unnecessary roughness on any play on the field, and that would have been my call. Even though technically it's legal.
Right. Well, and with things like this, I think it's so dangerous to start getting into the realm of trying to legislate intent, because you can never truly know intent, and it's so easy to replay things in slow motion and be like, oh, well, look at, he had so much time, he did this. But in reality, in the speed of the game, it happens in a split second. But I think despite all that, you know, that it might be hard, again, with the Trevathan hit. That might have been, did he intend to make contact? Where did he intend to hit? Whereas with this, I think you're totally right in the sense of you can kind of tell by watching that move what he was hoping to do. He was hoping, I mean, I don't go ill of anyone that anyone ever wants to break someone's collarbone and take them out of the sport for the rest of the game, but I do think he was intentionally trying to make a statement, to motivate his guys, to shake Rodgers up a little bit. I think he took it a little bit too far, and, you know, he's the only one who knows how it rests in his conscience, but there did seem to be sort of a deliberate choice being made.
Agreed.
All right. Well, let's skip ahead a little bit here. Obviously, the Aaron Rodgers era for 2017 is over. The Brett Hundley era begins. So, yeah, getting away from the whole trading away for Brett Hundley or trading for someone to get Brett Hundley or whatever, this guy is going to start the game on Sunday. He's gotten a lot of support. There's been a lot of doubters among the, as Michelle said, perhaps the slightly more hysterical brand of Packer fan. Mm-hmm. But it seems, you know, obviously McCarthy has put a lot of faith in him and has put faith in Callahan and said, this is our guys, we're moving forward. He's been all grumpy and upset about it. How are you guys feeling about this Brett Hundley thing moving forward?
Well, I don't want to steal some of my thunder and my predictions and hot pockets there, but personally, I'm not feeling real good about it this week, okay? I'll feel a lot better about it after a bye week, but I'm willing to give him an opportunity to show what he can do. I'm just not sure that this week we'll really see the real Brett Hundley. I think the extra week off and studying and getting reps will help him tremendously, get him into the whole feel of being the number one quarterback. So I think Bill mentioned this as well, looking forward more to see what he does after the bye week than this particular game coming up.
Yeah, I think, and short of, you know, reading it on the air, I wrote a lot about that in my column on Cheesehead Radio today, or Cheesehead TV today. And basically, in a nutshell, my point was that, A, he has been doing nothing for 3 years but preparing for this exact scenario, and now it's arrived. He knows the playbook in and out. He doesn't get to, you know, with the first team offense very much, but he knows these players. He has chemistry with these players. And then you just get down to physicality and tools. And the thing I really like about Brett Hundley is, sure, the Packers are going to kind of close off sections of their playbook that just aren't appropriate anymore, that are mostly run for Rodgers. But, you know, Rodgers and Hundley are pretty similar players when it comes down to play style, when it comes down to athleticism. I had reposted their combine numbers, which are incredibly similar, and actually Hundley's are a little bit more athletic across the board. So, you know, you can still view some of the things that the Packers have been having success with this year. The Packers practice scramble drills, and Hundley's going to be able to keep doing that. They're going to go to a little bit more, you know, backfield screens, quick slants, double outs, but they've been running a lot of kind of dink and dunk type stuff anyways, so it's not like the offense is one that, you know, has been going downfield every other passing attempt, and suddenly they're going to become a quick strike offense. So I don't think it's that crazy to expect that as long as Hundley, you know, can protect the ball and has developed his passing ability, you know, we know he didn't come from a pro-style offense in college. As long as we can sort of accept that he's developed a little bit, I think that this is an offense that he can run really well. So I'm hoping he proves me right.
The voice of optimism. CD, what's your take? Are you a believer or a non-believer?
Well, I'll be the voice of measured, let's see what's coming. I'm actually, and obviously I got into a bit of a Twitter war this week with a couple folks. Just playing my usual devil's advocate because I didn't really commit to anything. I just really disagreed with anyone who said anything, which is fun to do, especially at times like this. But I think that I'm okay with Brett Hundley moving forward, especially as a short-term thing. We really don't have a choice. Part of it is we have a very passionate fan base who gets really, really excited and is really, really used to perfect quarterback play. And we have people who get on Aaron Rodgers when he has an off game and only has like a 95 or 100 quarterback rating. And that's just crazy that we can be upset about that. But Packer fans do kind of get like that a little bit. I think that if we are being realistic on Brett Hundley and we're okay and we're going to allow him to develop, I think we'll be okay. There are three things that I'm worried about with him. First one is his Matt Flynnitis. He seems to be best passing in that 5 to 10 yard area. And as he goes past 10 yards, he seems to lose his accuracy. So I think that's one thing I want to watch out for this week to see if he is going to either gain a little more accuracy as he goes downfield, or if they're going to modify that game plan to get more into that West Coast dink and dunk passing. Second thing that really I noticed with him, and there was one pass, but it really, really concerned me. It really should have been his fourth interception if the Vikings were not playing in a prevent defense at that point. I can't remember who the pass was to, but it was along the left sideline, and he had thrown an out route that usually, you know, Jordy Nelson catches right on the sideline with his toes, and whoever the receiver was had to turn around and catch it on their back shoulder and bring it to their front before they stepped out of bounds. And I think in any other case, that type of pass is going to get picked off and run back for six. Now, it didn't because no one was in the vicinity, but that's not going to be typical. I want to watch and make sure that, especially as he hits those out routes and those tiptoe ones, that he may make sure that those are put in a place where they can't get picked off. The last thing, and I think this is going to be one thing that's very concerning, is the pressure awareness. Al, when you were talking before and talking about Aaron Rodgers while Brett Favre was still playing, that was Aaron Rodgers' biggest bugaboo. So he had no pressure awareness. He clearly has it now. Brett Hundley had a couple situations where he stood in that pocket and just did not feel that pressure coming behind him. If he doesn't get that fixed, yeah, I think we might be looking at Joe Callahan playing. So I'm hoping that all those things are something that they're working on this week. I'll feel pretty good about Brett Hundley if those things are improving and continue to improve this season.
The measured response. Okay.
Sort of, yes. All right. One last thing here. I guess we got some rookie contributions. Al, I think you put that in there.
Yeah, I just kind of wanted to make the point of how much mileage the Packers are actually getting out of first-year players, which is really kind of unusual for them. McCarthy generally likes to let them get their feet wet the first year before really putting them in and giving them a lot of playing time. But this year we've got – now, of course, some of these were due to injury, but some were due to just bad play by other guys. We've got Aaron Jones. We've got Kevin King. We've got Josh Jones, Justin Vogel, all starting basically. We've got – Pankey and Pipkins playing, which was due to injuries. They've moved up the depth chart and onto the roster and are now seeing time. And we haven't even seen Vince Beagle and Montrevious Adams yet. So I just kind of wanted to make a point that I think we have a really good rookie class that Ted Thompson provided us this year. And glad to see them able to contribute sooner rather than later. And one reason that I think for that is I think the Packers focused more on speed this year than they ever have in the past. They made sure that everybody they were drafting in a skill position, you know, obviously it doesn't matter quite as much for offensive line, let's say, but in a skill position, all the players had a certain level of speed or quickness that maybe the Packers draft choices haven't had in the past. So I thought that was a conscious effort by the Packers to improve team speed. And I think it's showing and it's helped them get on the field faster. That was my point. I should have saved that for my hot pocket. No.
I was just going to say, I was sort of
that's real. I keep waiting for that little sound effect to come in.
Yeah, right.
Because that's kind of what it sounded like, yeah.
It did.
Maybe now we can move on to our actual Hot Pockets.
Let's get it.
Come on.
Hot Pockets. Herb sauce.
Cheesy drizzle.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. So we are two Hot Pockets on here at Cheesehead Radio. It's a time for us to go around the horn and each talk a little bit about something that's important to us. I will start us out this week with my Hot Pocket. Had a real good conversation on Twitter, actually probably more with myself because not many people agreed with me, but it was just the thought that we have it's my curse.
Your
in
best
life,
conversations are with yourself, I think.
Usually. Actually, best arguments with myself. I tend to lose those arguments, but regardless,
either way,
it was just this feeling of, and it goes back a little bit to maybe that spoiledness that Bill was talking about and that I kind of mentioned a little bit too, that, you know, we are accustomed to this. I think actually it was Jason Perone and I got into a little conversation where he says, you know, I can have strong expectations and you know, still be realistic. And I'm like, you know, there was a point in time where we didn't have that. You know, we didn't have this feeling of near entitlement to saying, well, we have to make the playoffs every year. We have to win the division every year. And if we don't, the season is a complete and utter disappointment. And it just brought back some memories of the early 1990s after going through the 1980s and 70s and just how exciting it was to not have these expectations and how I think Packer fans, when you look back at that period in time, enjoyed every little success. I mean, just not being 8-8 or less to be 9-7 in a year was like, oh my gosh, this is the best season ever. Could it get better? Oh my gosh. You know, and just these players came in like Brett and Reggie and they became folk heroes. And it was just such a positive time in Packer history for fans because we had those low expectations, and it was great. So somehow with this whole Brett Hundley deal, I'm hoping that maybe there's a way we can capture the positivity of that maybe by lowering the expectations, we really can appreciate the development of a young quarterback. I would love to see Brett Hundley go from being a C-minus quarterback to start to being a B-plus or an A-minus by the end of the season. I think it'd be great. And I just think that Packer fans hopefully have that positivity. And I think if we do that, it could be a very enjoyable season for all of us, even if we don't make the playoffs. And that is my
Hot Pocket.
There we are.
Yeah. Okay. So, while Hundley is obviously topic number one for this upcoming game, I believe that pass defense, not Brett Hundley, holds the key to this game. If the Packers can make a mediocre quarterback like Case Keenum look good, what will happen with Drew Brees? You know, if the Packers are to have a chance with Burnett and Rollins out, Kevin King and Devon House need to be active. I think we heard today that Kevin King probably will be, so that's good. And guys like Demarius Randall need to actually cover someone. Actually, he may not be active, we heard today, so we'll see what happens there. Otherwise, it could be raining booze at Lambeau Field, and I don't mean in anticipation of Halloween. And that is my
Hot Pocket.
Michelle.
All right. Well, I'm keeping my hot pocket short and sweet this week. And basically, it's just that I think the Packers need to feed Aaron Jones. And to be honest, I think they need to feed Aaron Jones whether or not Ty Montgomery is available to start. Obviously, last week, nothing was going to go according to plan, literally according to the offensive game plan. The Packers were just struggling to keep in it. But they were so behind that they weren't really able to run the ball as much as they would have this week against the Saints. They have a great opportunity to use the run to set up the pass and also just try to keep, you know, a more balanced offensive approach and also, you know, use the backfield as a passing weapon with backfield screens. And so I think that Aaron Jones, especially on first and second down, could be a huge weapon for them this week. All it's about is just moving the sticks, you know, taking as long as the field. Don't give the ball up for interceptions. Just take it slow and steady on the ground, and they'll be able to stay in the game. That is my
Hot Pocket.
Cheesehead Radio. Packers game predictions.
Well, it's a totally different game than what we thought it might have been. Actually, I think I'm going to the game. Looking forward to that. I'm going to be tailgating with Burkles, Al. How's that sound?
Oh.
Yeah, I
sounds
know.
Like fun.
I know. Wish me it. Yes, it does. So anyway, New Orleans
Saints.
I hope
you get a word in.
The Packers have, yeah, I'll manage. But the Packers went on a road trip with, obviously, with Dallas and Minnesota and come back to Green Bay without their superstar quarterback. I'm sure the Saints have had a completely different game plan as they've gone through this week from what they might have otherwise. A lot of doubts, a lot of uncertainty. Let's take it around the horn with our game predictions. Michelle.
All right. Well, the Saints certainly are not as good a team as their 52 points against the Lions would have maybe indicated. And if the Packers can prevent a single giveaway, there's a chance they could win this game. But unfortunately, I think this week it's more likely, even if the offense looks improved under a game plan that's actually been designed for Brett Hundley, the Packers' defense just isn't going to be able to contain the Saints' offense. So for now, I'm thinking Saints 31, Packers 20.
Okay.
My first loss prediction all year.
Yeah, holy cow. Well, I think the Packers are going to have a tough time. And I think, I hate to say it, I think, Al, you may have hit on something to where the idea of having your hometown crowd turn against you and having some boos come from the stadium, it's a possibility. I think Aaron Rodgers' injury has exposed weaknesses on the team that perhaps his play and comeback ability has covered up. That stated, they are at home. I think you're going to see a little bit of rallying around Brett Hundley on both sides of the ball. If that happens, I think the Packers can take it to them. I'm actually going to say Packers 25, Saints 24.5. Al? Al says, Al, you there?
Sorry about that. Had mute on. This is just not a matchup I like. I rarely use mute, and I've been doing it a lot tonight, and naturally I screwed it up. But any case, this is not a matchup I like for the Packers at this point in time. Team is still emotionally reeling from the loss of Aaron Rodgers, no matter what they tell you. And the injury situation is only slightly improved. I see Drew Brees having a good day against the beat-up Packers secondary, who struggled against the Vikings team missing their best quarterback, running back, and wide receiver. I'll feel better about the psyche of this team after the bye, but for now, this goes down as a tough loss. Saints 27, Packers 24.
Who would have thought I'd be the only optimist here?
Nobody. Nobody.
When does this happen?
They are a change in.
Never.
I just like going the opposite of everyone else. That's just me.
Of course.
All right, let's close this one out.
Thank you all so much for joining us tonight on Cheesehead Radio, and thanks to our special guest, Bill Johnson. Make sure to head on over to PackersTalk.com, where you can explore several unique Packers podcasts. Please follow PackersTalkNet on Twitter and like the Packers Talk page on Facebook. Cheesehead Radio and all Packers Talk podcasts are available on iTunes. Just Google Packers Talk iTunes and you'll find it. Be sure to subscribe and please leave us a review if you can. You can also listen in by using Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, or your favorite podcatching app and search for Packers Talk. Finally, please be sure to support our sponsor, Ticket King. You can find them on the web at theticketking.com. That's theticketking.com. That's a wrap. Go, Pack, go. Go, Brett.
All right.
Go. Prove me right.
And just some special fond wishes for our co-host, Jamie, as she's...
Yep.
Possibly delivering our newest Packer fan, which I think we've announced the last 3 weeks in a row. So this,
but today I think was, yeah, today I think was a scheduled day, if I remember her saying. So, was that right, Michelle?
Exciting. You know? I think so. Yeah.
All right. Well, good luck,
so
Jamie.
Hopefully we'll get some news
soon.
Good luck, Jamie.
Can't wait to meet him. All right. For all you Packer fans out there, go Pack Go. Good night, all.
Good night.
Go Pack Go.